from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. They're Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the program. A big shout-out to our friends over at Jiffy Lube. Yeah, no, KC Tucker in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and thank you to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, and of course, on 1320 AM, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, if you would like to join the show. KC Tucker, we were talking a little bit about Dutch Bros at the break, the coffee shop, and I said I don't go that much. I like the coffee, but I don't go that often because the line is usually a bit too long for what I've got going on. I can't sit in the line. And KC Tucker said the line can't be that bad at 4 a.m. when you're heading to the show. I don't leave that early anymore. We had some changes several months ago here that don't require me to leave that early. I'm leaving the house at like 6 now. And the line's not bad at 6 in the morning. It's usually fine, but I don't buy coffee as much on my way to work anymore. So,
gotcha.
I like Dutch Bros though.
I'm okay with it. It's a little too sweet for me.
Yeah.
Like in the morning, I like, I have cream in the coffee there.
Yeah.
At the office.
Don't you go flavored coffee too, though? Like that's still pretty sweet.
Well, no, just like regular flavor, like a hazelnut flavored coffee just has a hint of hazelnut.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Dutch Bros tastes like full blown dessert. It's delicious.
It does.
Like, don't get it twisted. When I do go to Dutch, I go to town, bro. It's fine. Basketball. Basketball. Not coffee. Right, basketball. Anthony Slater, friend of the program, writes at The Athletic, does a great job covering the Sacramento Kings and Golden State Warriors. Floated the possibility today of Trey Lyles starting at the 4 for the Kings. And I think that's I wouldn't personally do that because I don't like the idea of taking Keon Ellis out of the starting lineup for Trey Lyles. Because in that scenario, you're going Fox 1, DeRozan 2, Keegan 3, Lyles 4, Domas 5.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets Keegan out of the 4, which is nice. I think he's better suited at the small forward spot. But I also don't love Trey Lyles as the starting power forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a... It's kind of a weird issue here. Like, first of all, this idea was floated last season, like down the stretch, like probably in March, we started to hear like, well, what if they did this? And I know it's something that was kind of like, there are people within the walls that have to support this idea of Trey Lyles starting. And I don't want to like anyone get this wrong. Like I like Trey Lyles. I've been like a, one of the guys who have been like on the Trey Lyles bandwagon for a while. Mm-hmm. I think when you're a good team, having players like Trey Lyles, it helps you sustain and helps you become even a better team. High basketball IQ, can shoot the three, can rebound, you know, can mix it up, can take somebody off the dribble here and there. But my problem with Trey, even though he's done a ton of work on his body and he continues to get like in better and better shape. And the way that I want to say that Jason Thompson used to do, like Jason Thompson used to reinvent his body every year.
Sure.
And, you know, he went from this kid coming out of Ryder with his feet facing the wrong way when he take a jump shot to a guy who really, by the time he was done, could have played multiple positions, but was just lean and mean and like a guy who had done the work. Right. And I think Trey Lyles has become that guy. But still, I don't know how he acts as like a switching forward in rotations. And especially if you're moving Keegan to the three and you're switching everything all the time, like Trey Lyles is a quality defender. But he's a quality defender against like second team guys more than he is against first team guys. Mm-hmm. Right. So the other problem that I have is that I think Trey Lyles should be playing the four and the five for this team. And last season we saw the Kings walk into the year, like coming into training camp, they had five centers, before they decided to waive Nemias Keita and, Nerlens Noel.
Mm-hmm.
But this offseason right now they've got Domantas Sabonis and they've got
Alex Len,
right? And so I think you're going to need Trey to play some backup four, backup five.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the flow of the offense better with him at that position and being able to use him in multitude of positions, and using his versatility more than what I think having him start at the four would do.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like, let's just be honest. The Kings don't have the depth to do that move at this point.
That's the highlight of this for me.
Yeah.
Is that okay? That's fine. Like on the surface, somebody in the chatty house said they need more size in the starting lineup. Love this idea, but that'd be fine if they had more depth at that spot. They just don't. And I think that highlights the biggest problem with their roster right now is the fact that like Trey Lyles is, I think, in a perfect role where he's the seventh or eighth guy and he can play some small ball five or he's a backup four. Just I think he's super ideal in that role. And the fact that the move is, well, what if he starts? Like, don't love that. I don't love that idea.
Well, Kyle, and I think your point is very, very on point, like realistically, the fact that in order to start Trey Lyles, you're going to take Keon Ellis out of the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You just got worse defensively. And you know, I think there's already going to be questions about your defense with DeMar DeRozan. We can look at advanced numbers all we want, but the fact is, you know, we're talking about a 35-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to worry about that as part of a problem. You know, like, can he hold up defensively for 82 games?
Mm-hmm.
But I think having him next to Keon Ellis makes a lot more sense.
I
mean, the Kings, you know, like that it also puts you in the weird situation that, like, where are you going to get your Malik Monk minutes? You know, I know you're going to get him at the back of one, you're going to get him at the back of two.
Yeah.
But like, does that just eliminate Keon Ellis completely? Because your number one and number two and number three, like, man, minutes per game guys are Fox, DeRozan, and Sabonis, and even throwing Keegan Murray there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you going to manage that aspect? Where do you get these other guys on the court?
Yeah.
And to me, that's part of the problem too. And you still don't have the long athletic shot blocking, you know, three or four to pair with Sabonis, to pair with DeRozan, to pair, like, that's a problem. It's as big a problem as anything else. I don't have any problem with, you know, again, trading for a guy like Kyle Kuzma, putting him at the four,
sure,
and having Trey Lyles back up the four and the five, then still having Keegan Murray at the three and DeMar DeRozan. And now you got to figure it out. You're figuring it out then with, you know, like nine really, really high caliber NBA players.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think, where they're at today.
Let's get to the phones real quick. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders, which is sponsored by Jiffy Lube, FYI. Your thoughts on Trey Lyles starting at the four for the Kings?
Great trade for Marvin Bagley, first and foremost.
Perfect.
I just wanted to give you guys some love, man. Was super stoked when you guys came on. Only took you about a week to really kind of get your synergy, and you guys haven't looked back. I listen to y'all every day when I open up. So first of all, I just want to appreciate y'all.
My man. Thank you. Checks in the mail.
And secondly, as a lifelong Kings fan, I want to give my shout out to Mr. Monty McNair. It's been a rough, you know, 30 plus years as a Kings fan. And when he took over, we can talk about the lineup, and the lineup was just, you know, a lot of question marks. Fox, we didn't even know if, you know, Fox was going to get that max extension. He was kind of at a low. So, you know, he took over a bad roster, wasn't really allowed to tank, didn't get any top three picks. And look at where we are right now. Only traded that one pick for Herter, and now the pick swap, and still got a bunch of assets. And, you know, I look around the West at the Clippers and the Suns and a lot of these teams that mortgage their future. And, you know, we're looking better than them right now. So credit to Mr. Monty.
Definitely. Thanks for the call, Don. Appreciate you. It might have been Luke Walton. Is it the chat?
There you go.
yeah, man. I put eyeballs on Monty McNair when once Mike Brown got extended, and you went, all right, now it's time for the front office to step up. They got Malik Monk to stick around without hitting free agency. They go draft Devin Carter. They go and get DeMar DeRozan in the sign and trade, and now they've set themselves up to have this conversation that we're having, James. It's not, hey, how do they go from bottom tier to like middle tier? Now we're talking, okay, they're in the middle tier. Now what move can they make that's really that big swing that gets them over the hump? And I think that's a credit to Monty McNair and a credit to the front office. I think they've done a really, really nice job this offseason.
Yeah, they put themselves in a position to be in the conversation for the top, you know, four, five, six teams in the West.
Definitely.
And, you still want more. That and that's okay to want more, mm-hmm. but they've done the job. Like, again, retaining Malik Monk was such a huge victory for this team. So they're right on the precipice here of something really interesting. And I kind of want to see if they can do something to put them over the top.
If you are on the phone line, hang in there. We'll get to you after the break. Don, I see you. Don, I see you as well. So make sure to hang out, and we will get to your calls. Next, we'll also have some good idea or bad idea. Plus, Kings Summer League opens today. Kings Las Vegas Summer League, that is, opens today against the Memphis Grizzlies. What are we watching for in Vegas? We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Center.
Bye.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Dude, I have to push so many buttons to bring us back from break when you're at home.
Oh, no.
I've got to put... I don't want to go into the logistics, but when you're here, I have to push two buttons, and I can push those simultaneously. When you're not here, okay. I've got to push one, two, three... I've got to push four buttons. It's all good, though. We're
That's back. A lot of button pushing.
Yeah.
Is it simultaneous pushing, or is it like
no, it's all sequence? Separate. And it's an easy sequence. Like, I can just go left to right, and then we're all good. But yeah, it's just every break now, when we come back, I'm looking to make sure that we're at least on air. That's priority number one. There's when you run a board, and this is the first time I ever ran a board, we're probably going to punt good idea or bad idea today, because I'm going to tell this story, and then we've got a couple of callers to get to. But 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Should Trey Lyles be in the Kings starting lineup? That's what we were talking about. So if you want to call, please do. It's just going to ring for a while, though, because we don't have a call screener, and I've already got my stuff figured out. Anyways, first time I ever ran a board, I was super intimidated because I got one day of training, and then they went, all right, kid, you're up. And it was just running a live event, which is you listen for the out cue, you push a button, and you make sure it's good to go. And the assistant program director at the station I was at went, hey, your job today is to keep the station on air. If you don't push any buttons, we can make good on spots. We basically, if the commercials don't play, we can play them later. But you just make sure the station stays on air. And that's ostensibly what my job is. I know I have to host a show and everything, but as the button pusher, I just have to make sure we're on air. That's it. Everything else can be fixed.
And that's why I don't push any buttons, because I don't want to take us off air. I don't want to be that guy.
Sure. I don't think you would.
What happened? Well, I don't know. I tried to push a button and then it didn't work. And then I hit it again. And then next thing you know, like someone was running in. Hey, how come we're off the air?
That's
my nightmares.
Once you're back, and we'll talk about this off air because nobody cares. Once you're back, I'm going to make sure you're with me every day so we can get you where you won't push a button that sends us off air. We'll get you all squared away. It'll be great. Anyways, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, should Trey Lyles be the king starting four? Your thoughts?
Hey, that'd be good for size, at least. He could score, but he's never been a top three guy in the team.
Agreed.
I hope you guys are doing well. I like that Malkin. And what about John Collins? Would that cost a little less? I know he's starting at least long term. I know we complain about we have too many guards, but it seems like every year we draft guards. And not that I'm not happy with Carter, but he's hurt already. Yeah. Could have had Mr. Connect there. I think that would have been a better pick, but I guess can't do anything about spilled milk, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate you. I'm out on John Collins. We've talked about this before. I just don't. I don't believe he's a winning player. And I know that sounds like rudimentary and silly, but that's where I'm at with John Collins.
Yeah, it's tough. All of the metrics say that he does not. Well, he impacts winning negatively. Like, it's unfortunate, but like he causes losses.
He impacts winning in the wrong direction.
I've always liked John Collins as a player. I mean, like 22-year-old John Collins averaging like 20-10 with like a block and a half a game. Like I was all in, but it feels like as he's gotten further and further in his career, he's gotten away from things that actually matter on the court. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to work out for him. So I'm out. That doesn't mean that if the Kings traded Kevin Herter for him and like slid him in as the backup four or something, or starting four alongside Keegan Murray, that I wouldn't be like, okay, I'm at least intrigued to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can be that that lob threat that Malik Monk needs.
Yeah.
But I still think it's kind of it would be kind of a reach.
It's all theory with him. Like in theory, John Collins would be the perfect fit.
But given
what we know about him on the court, given the assets it would take to acquire him, given the money you'd have to pay him, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's the same with Christian Wood. Like Christian Wood, like on paper, looks like the perfect fit next to Domantas Sabonis. Like really, if you go back like 3 years, like the things that he was doing on the court, where he's shooting, you know, 38% from threes, blocking shots, he's averaging 18 and 10 or 18 and 9. And like all of the things that he was doing made a lot of sense, but nobody feels like he's a full-fledged like winning player at all. So bit of an issue.
Yeah, definitely. Don, you're on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, what's going on, man? Hey, Don.
Hello?
Yep. You're on.
Oh, I'm Spencer.
Oh,
Spencer.
Sorry about that. Call screener got it wrong. What's up, Spencer?
Okay. No, it's all right. Okay, I'm gonna throw a name out there. I'm gonna tell you his stats first.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start. He's a year younger than DeMar Rosen. He's 33 right now.
Okay.
Okay. He's a 6-time All-Star. 2-time gold medal winner.
Do not say Draymond Green.
And the MVP of the Taiwanese League, Boogie Cousins.
Oh my God! Yes, there we go. Let's go.
Oh,
he hung up. He hung up. I thought he was going to have more after our applause. No. Shout out to Boogie.
No.
Big shout out to Boogie.
Yeah. Yeah. Friends don't live friends. Well, I mean, like, look, again, it's complicated, but it's not going to happen. So that's all we need to say.
Yeah. Again. Like, in theory, sure.
You could bring him back and like give him the jacket like they did with players last year.
Yeah.
But that was for the 100th year anniversary and it didn't happen. So I do know he did come to the Kings luncheon at All-Star Weekend mm-hmm. or their breakfast at All-Star Weekend. But whether that means anything down the road,
go ahead.
As far as a player, I mean, he really has, like said, like his time has come and gone with the NBA, and he understands mm-hmm. that. He's frustrated by it, I'm sure, but I think he understands it.
Yeah, it sucks the way things went for him health-wise, but it was really clear, even in 2019, when he made his comeback with Golden State, like, he wasn't the player. Like, dude, the guy we saw with the Kings was just dominant. And
oh, yeah.
And in a way that like not a lot of modern centers are dominant. And I think if you picked up prime DeMarcus Cousins and dropped him onto the Sixers instead of Joel Embiid, did the Sixers get worse? Like, I don't think the Sixers get that much worse. Obviously Joel Embiid at his peak is a better player, but on a just kind of game to game basis, I don't think they get that much worse. Like, DeMarcus was awesome, but no, that's pass. Ship sailed.
I think so too. And I'd also, Danny Hurley was asked a question about players, and culture and all that stuff the other day. And I suggest everyone go out there and find that clip mm-hmm. of Danny Hurley talking about, players that, are good for your culture and are about winning, and players who might have a ton of talent, but aren't about, the team all the time. And I thought it was very, very spot on mm-hmm. where you can have, guys who unfortunately can be a one man like culture killer in a locker room. And, so you have to try to build the team the right way. And as of right now, I think the Kings have a really, really good vibe.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in that locker room is a hard worker, a good dude. They play for each other. They're not looking for individual stats, and I think that's a good thing. They've really turned the culture around,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be cautious with who it is you're bringing in the door.
Yeah, no doubt. We have to take a break. We have one more segment left. We have a ton to get to in this final segment. You might hear some audio from Kevin Durant. We have a got some MLB All-Star news that I think is fascinating and something happening in the MLB All-Star game that would never fly in the NBA. We'll tell you what it is next on ESPN 1320. This is the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James. I'm Kyle. We'll be back in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm is over there. Kyle Madsen's right here. Jiffy Lube is omnipresent. They sponsor this program. They're going to help me get my car to 300,000 miles. Visit JiffyLube.com today for more information. For more information about the location nearest you, they got a ton of locations. Not more information about my car getting to 300,000 miles. You'll find nothing about that on JiffyLube.com. For that, you're going to need to listen to the Insiders. I'm not going to shut up about it because I'm really, really proud of my old Civic. So,
that's right. Where we're at. Testing the outer limits of the Civic.
Yeah. I love that car so much. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is next Tuesday. The starters have been announced, lineups have been announced, now there's players getting hurt, and there's been some replacements, and the pitching staffs obviously shift a little bit depending on availability, but it has been announced that Pirates rookie, 22-year-old Paul Skeens, is starting the All-Star game. He was drafted last year. He was, he was just drafted, just playing in college at LSU. He has started 11 major league games. He's 6-0 with a 1.9 ERA. He has 89 strikeouts and 13 walks in 66 and a third innings. He is pure electricity. I can't wait to watch him in the All-Star game. This is the right move to me to make him the starter in the All-Star game. I hope that he throws nothing but like 100-plus mile-an-hour fastballs and just goes challenge on every hitter that he faces. That's going to be super fun. But I don't want to get into the machinations of who's starting and who's not in the National or for the National League in the All-Star game, because frankly, I don't even care that much. What I do want to talk about is the idea of a rookie who has made 11 starts starting in the All-Star game, because it is so funny to me how stark the departure is from that to the NBA, where it's like, hey, be an all-star caliber player for 4 years before you get into the game. Like, that's a, yeah, that's a wild juxtaposition to me.
The NBA does, well, I mean, like we saw it last year with Victor Wembanyama not making the all-star team.
Insane.
Yeah, but he will this year, most likely.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, I remember guys like LeBron made it rookie season. There have been guys who make the All-Star team in their rookie season, but whether they're put up on a pedestal like this, I don't know. And at Major League Baseball, the fact that, you know, there's a guy who starts at the, you know, the pitcher is usually the best guy in the league. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I mean, like, especially for it to be a small market team that hasn't really had any success at all since, you know, the early 90s, and all of a sudden, you know, you got somebody, and whether they'll be able to keep him longer than, you know, 2 or 3 years before they have to move him and try to get their money out of him. Maybe that will happen, but this is a guy who is electric and, you know, does like move the needle. I think people are going to want to see him, although he doesn't look like he's very unassuming. Like for a guy who's throwing like 100 and something miles an hour, you would not expect it. I mean, he's a guy with like a mustache and like he just doesn't
gangly.
He doesn't look intimidating. Yeah, he doesn't look intimidating or anything. You're like, huh, look at that. And then he's just a monster.
Yeah, man, he definitely has a vibe of a guy who would throw like spitballs. Like that's the vibe he gets. Like Mason Miller for the A's throws a million. And when he gets up on the mound, he stands really tall and he's got a very compact motion. He's there and he's firing. Paul Skene's very fluid, very loose, does not look like the kind of guy who would throw as hard as he does. But boy, he throws the heck out of the baseball. He's super fun to watch. If you are not locked into baseball, Tuesday night, All-Star game, check out Paul Skene's. If you're going to watch half an inning of baseball all year, make it that one where he's facing the best players in the American League. That'll be a fun watch. Also a fun watch, Summer League. Down in Vegas, the Sacramento Kings open their Summer League slate today against the Memphis Grizzlies. I have a quick question before we get into players we're watching and things like that. Did we ever get word on what's happening with Drew Timmy? Because the Kings announced that he's on their roster, but then the Raptors announced that he's on their roster?
Well, they've cloned Drew Timmy.
Two Timmy.
And so there's two Timmys. No. The Toronto Raptors announced that he would not be on their Summer League roster.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess that the Kings figured out something here with Timmy, whether it's a training camp invite or it's something that made him choose to come to Sacramento over going to the Raptors. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain things about Drew Timmy's game, which I think we love to see. And there's other things where you're like, okay, I don't think that's going to work. So, you know, again, I like Timmy. I do. It's just,
I don't mean this in a disparaging way, because he has made it to the point that he is a viable option for NBA teams. Like he is one of the, in proportion to the number of people who have ever picked up a basketball, he's one of the best players to ever pick up a basketball. But it feels like in high school, I reached a point. I played baseball from the time I was year round, from the time I was 12 all the way through my senior year of high school. During a tournament during my senior year of high school, I faced a kid that had a pitcher who had a full ride or a partial ride, whatever. He had a scholarship to go to a D1 school, and he struck me out on three pitches easily. And I kind of looked internally and went, oh, I'm just not good enough. Like, I just don't, like, I'm okay at the high school level, but I'm not going to play at any kind of level. I have maxed myself out here. And that's what it feels like when you watch Drew Timmy. Is, man, this is a good player. Like, he's talented, but he has maxed out what he's going to do as an accomplished basketball player. He was awesome at Gonzaga, had a ton of success there, but it's just kind of, I just don't think he quite has the skill set and the physical tools necessary to hang in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he's super close. He's like a 4A player. He's the Dan Johnson of the
Dan
NBA.
Yeah,
there you go. I just pulled that. For me, it's like
Oakland A's legend. For those of you who don't know, go on, James. Sorry.
Yeah, when you're watching him play, the good thing about him is in summer league, he's exactly what you want. He's a guy who's going to set screens. He's going to roll hard to the rim. He's got like an understanding of the game. He's well coached, high basketball IQ. All of these things. And in summer league, it could equate to wins. It really could. Mm-hmm. It could mean that you're one of the better teams that are out there. But at the end of the day, is he really good to, is he good enough to make it in the league? And I don't think, you know, even as like a backup to the backup, maybe, but, it would be tough. It's, you know, it comes down to the fact that, you know, like you gotta be able to jump over a phone book. And probably more than that at the NBA level, and everything moves faster the next level up. And so it would be, I think it would be really tough. Although I think he can be a heck of a summer league player, a heck of a G League player, and a player who plays in Europe for, you know, a decade.
He's also turning 24 in September. This isn't an 18-year-old who has room to figure it out. Like, I think it's. I'm rooting for him though. I super hope I'm wrong.
Me too.
I would love to see it. Yeah, I would love to see him go and have success in the NBA. I just don't think it's quite going to work out. When the Kings are down in Vegas, Keon Ellis is on the roster. Do you expect him to play much, if at all? Because I do not.
For Keon?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't.
I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility that they're going to give Keon a couple of games.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 2-3 games and see how it goes. And then, you know, let the other guys finish out the tournament. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on how they're doing, if they're going to be in it to win it. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, like the growth of letting a player like get outside of his comfort zone and push himself, take on more of a scoring role, take on more of a ball handling role, all of those things, I think it matters. Mm-hmm. And I think this is good on the job training for Keon Ellis. So I would like to see him play at least in the first three games, because that's where I think the real competition is in the first three games. Yep. And then if you're a team that falls off, then go ahead and pull him and you know, maybe even pull Mason Jones and give Adonis Arms and a couple of other guys an opportunity, maybe even Colby Jones an opportunity to just do more.
That's where I don't want to say the problem. That's where I think Keon shouldn't play a ton. I think you're right. Give him another game. Give him a full game to do what he did in the Cal Classic finale, where here's the keys. Create off the dribble. See if it, you know. I think he only had one or two assists in the Cal Classic finale. See if he can set up your teammates a couple of times. And if he goes and cooks again and has 30 and just looks like he has outplayed the entire summer league, then you can pull him. But if he goes out there and he struggles, then okay, yeah, give him a couple more games. But I would love to see Colby Jones get those opportunities, and Mason Jones as well.
I think you need to see who Colby Jones is.
Definitely.
As much as you think that you know who Keon Ellis is and you're enjoying sort of the ascension of a young player, mm-hmm. I think you need to see if Colby Jones is a ball player or not. And I think, you know, our initial instinct is, oh yeah, Colby Jones is a ball player. But like, if you can't perform in summer league, like I don't take summer league stats to like be something like amazing. Like, oh my gosh, did you see?
Yeah.
You know, I remember Dante Green scored 40 in the summer league game. Yeah. Right. But there's also a player, like if you show up and you're averaging like 6 or 7 points a game and a couple of rebounds, a couple of assists, that's not a good thing either.
Yeah. There's a baseline level that you want to be.
Yeah, there is a baseline level. And for Colby Jones, I think in year two, you would like to see him come in and average, say, 14 points and 3 assists and 4.5 rebounds in solid play, right? And if you're not getting that, I don't think it's like, oh, hit the panic button or wave him or anything like that. But at the same time, like your idea of who he can be and what he might be sort of starts to change a little bit.
I agree.
And you know, again, whether that means he spends another year in the G League, that's a possibility. Yeah. Or does he show you something here and say, look, I, in all honesty, can he show you that he's better than Mason Jones? And
good point.
Or that he can give you something that Mason Jones can't give you as a player. And I think that's a big deal for Colby. Like, go out there and play well, play within your game, hustle, do all those things, but also show that, like, okay, like this moment in summer league should not be too big for him in year two.
That's exactly what I want to see out of Colby Jones. It felt like, now, at the end of the Cal Classic finale, down the stretch when the Kings were making their comeback, he had the ball in his hands quite a bit, but it was a little bit like watching Tyrese Halliburton in the playoffs, where he's like, yeah, give me the ball, I'll settle things down, but then I'm going to get rid of it and not touch it again. The numbers, you know, matter to an extent, but I would love to see if the Kings do say, all right, Keon, good first game there. You're done for the summer. Go work out individually and do your thing. And then they hand the keys to Colby Jones. I would love to see him be as assertive as Keon was. and go be that player and show exactly what he could do in a bigger role. That's kind of what I want to see, more than the numbers.
Yeah, I definitely think that Keon Ellis understood the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And that's what it feels like. He got it. Like, hey Keon, we need you to go and show that you're a baller.
Yeah.
Okay. And he goes out there and he does it, and you're like, oh, look, he looks very confident. He looks very comfortable. Put up 30. You know, all of these things that you did not expect him to do. That was really, really high level. And you're like, okay, look, you're better than everybody else on the court. That's okay. Yep. Let's move on to next, you know. And he went up against even like Brendan Podziemski.
Mm-hmm.
I like Keon Ellis looks like he's a quality player, and playing against Podziemski.
Yep.
I'd even say he looks like he's a better player.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy who went undrafted versus a guy who was a, I don't know, back end of the lottery or
late what was Podziemski?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think Keon is, you know, building more cachet into who he is as a player. And playing a couple of summer league games is probably a good idea.
Brendan Podziemski went, I'm sorry, 19th overall. So yeah, just after the lottery. Good time we got, 11:46. Hanging out with you until noon here on The Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It is time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building today on a Friday. Welcome into the show, Kenny Caraway. Let me get your mic turned on and up. There he is. What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's Friday. It's hot as hell.
It is so hot.
But look, you know me. That's what it's supposed to be. I grew up in Sacramento, California. It's July 12th. If it was 75 degrees, I'd be upset. That's how it should be.
So my pushback on this is I don't mind that it's 100 and whatever it is today.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact
103
that
right now. That's what my watch says.
What's it going to get to, like 112 today? 112.
Let's call it that.
Okay.
I don't even mind the high.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is that when I get here in the morning at 7:30,
wow,
I already can't get out of my car in a hoodie. That's what I can't. I can't deal with. Open the windows at night. Ugh, gross.
Was it last night? I think it was last night. Yeah, because I was downtown and I left downtown at like 9:30. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was one of those things where, you know, the thermometer is in a hot area, so it's not reading 100% accurately or whatever. But the sun was down. The sun was definitely down. I was in a parking garage or whatever, so there wasn't like the sun beaming on the thermometer.
Yeah.
It was just I get into the car, 96 degrees.
Oh.
They're saying it's 96 degrees, and I'm like, well, that's what it is.
That's too hot. You can say it's too hot. It's okay.
It's not too hot.
It's a little too hot. It's a little too hot.
It's hot. Now, look, hey.
88, fine.
Shout out to all my people, all my delivery people, all my people laying concrete, all my people on roofs. Like, yes. I wouldn't want that for those people.
They are the heroes of the universe.
Yeah, right now. I'm, you know, kind of lucky enough where I get to be inside for the next 8 hours or so, and I don't really have to deal with it.
Sure.
So that's where my thoughts come from. But like, if I have one of those jobs, I'm in construction or something like that, yeah, I probably wouldn't like it.
I don't give a damn how hot it is. I'm inside. I don't give a rip. The Kings
AC is a beautiful thing.
the Kings are facing the Grizzlies tonight in their
Zach Edey
Vegas Summer League opener. Is there a Sacramento Kings player you guys have a close eye on tonight down in Vegas?
So forgive me if I don't have the roster committed to memory, but James, you would know the Boogie.
God, get him out of here. He's done.
did Boogie Ellis make the Summer League roster?
Yes.
I want to see Boogie Ellis.
Me too.
I want to see Boogie Ellis. Is Mason Jones on the Summer
Mason League? Mason Jones is on the Summer League roster.
James, Keon Ellis.
Keon Ellis is on the Summer.
Yep.
All right.
Well, that's what we were talking about when you walked in. Why did you have that reaction?
You don't need to be playing Summer League. That's enough. You got away with it in the California class. But I'm consistent with this. I felt this way about Keegan last year when he played. Like, he don't have no business playing in Summer League. Now, some people might say it helps. Like, some people may say that game that Keegan played last year gave him maybe the confidence or the experience of, like, you're the guy. You've got to score 30 for us to win. And he had that experience. Maybe it helps out Keon that same way, but I don't know. I saw him in the California Classic. He looked really good, obviously, in that last game. Looked phenomenal. That's all I needed to see from him this summer. I don't need to see him in Vegas.
I think the difference for me with that is we kind of knew what Keegan was going to be, and he's a top four pick, and that's just kind of we. So you wanted to see him out there, and that was okay, cool. He got a little bit of run. He looked great. Get him out of there. With Keon, it feels to me like there's development to undergo there still, particularly as a playmaker with the ball in his hands, and that's where I think this can be valuable for him.
Understandable. I understand somebody feels different. This guy spent all day talking about he's potentially your starting two guard. What is he doing out here playing with these?
Expanding his game.
All right. Catch and shoot. Catch and shoot and play defense. That's what we need from you at the starting two guard spot.
Fair enough. I'm a big Isaac Jones guy, man.
I like Isaac Jones. I do.
I don't know.
I like what I've seen from him at least.
Yeah, and James, we were talking about this a little bit offline the other day, but I think Isaac Jones, maybe not this year, but next year, to me, he profiles really nice we're talking about Trey Lyles a lot earlier, but as a backup four, small ball five, lob threat. I doesn't shoot it a ton, which may limit his role a little bit, but I was pretty impressed with what I saw early on in the Cal Classic, and I'm interested to see how that goes for him down in Summer League too.
Yeah. He's active, man.
Yeah. I want to see if he can expand his game. I think this year is going to be really, really big for him playing in the G League and going through a training camp and all that stuff. But he, in order to make it in the pros, he needs to at least show that he can stretch the floor a little bit and he can hit the corner three. And he didn't take any in college, but he also didn't make any. And so, he definitely needs to show that he's okay to expand his game, that it's, you know, that's something he can do, and maybe he can't. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But the good thing is, I mean, that's essentially like what the G League is for, right? Like if you see like what James sees and what you see and say, okay, he's not there right now. We think he may have the potential, or we want to find out. Let's spend a whole year with him in practice, working with these NBA level coaches, working on his jump shot, getting comfortable with taking him in the game. I mean, he might be a guy who, like, he's very intriguing. We may not see him. He may be on the baseball plan, right? We may not see him for a year and a half, 2 years. Mm-hmm. But if he work on his game and starts to add to his game, it could be really beneficial with the things that he already has.
Are we collectively out on the Adonis Arms thing? Like, that was a fun game against the Lakers, but we're all.
I wouldn't say out. I wouldn't say out. Let me see what you do in Vegas. I want to see Adonis more than I want to see Keon in Vegas.
No, definitely same. Yeah. Same.
So there's that. And then what do we feel about Drew Timmy?
Oh, we talked. We both James and I are in the same boat on Drew Timmy.
No disrespect. No disrespect.
That's literally how I started.
All right. I'm not interested in Drew Timmy. Not at all. But he's had some good games.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be like one of those guys that, like, almost like a Mason Jones, right? Where it doesn't matter like what it looks like, what he looks like or whatever. Mm-hmm. He kind of produces. He just, like, when he plays basketball, he produces.
Like he's just going to hang around, and in 2036, you're going to look up and Drew Timmy's going to be given five minutes to the Rockets.
You know who's like that? And I'm not saying Timmy's as good as him, but like Kelly Olynyk. Coming out of college, I would have never thought Kelly Olynyk was this guy. He's played like 10 years or something.
Yeah, but Olynyk is a way better prospect than Drew Timmy.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, when you talk about like the measurables and stuff like that, he's a little taller than Timmy, but he knows how to play. He figured out a skill, being able to shoot and rebound. And I wonder if Timmy can figure that out. I wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just don't know that he has the facilities to hang in the NBA.
If he has a really good summer league, that'll intrigue me. So I guess I want
to. I wouldn't hate seeing him in Stockton. I think he can run a lot of the similar stuff that Domantas does with the Stockton Kings, and I think that's why he's going to be really valuable here in summer league, because you can run a lot of the high ball screen stuff using him, and you know he's a smart player. He knows how to play the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think in a maximized version where hey. He can athletically, he can hang in the NBA. He's good to go. I agree with James. It wouldn't, I not that he would be Domas, but you'd feel okay if he's your backup five, where you don't have to alter your offense.
Yeah,
because of Drew Timmy. Yeah, and he's interesting for sure.
Doesn't it feel good though that this is like the first kind of non-interesting Kings Summer League in a while? Like, there's no rookie there. There's no second year guy there. It's just we're just kind of there.
I don't want to
kind of there.
Not doing semantics, but I want to rephrase because I think this is what you're saying. There's some interesting players for sure, mm-hmm. but there's no urgency to it.
No, we're just kind of there. We're just we're not on pins and needles looking at this rookie and putting all our hopes on him. It's just kind of there. That's a good thing.
Yeah. It's every player we talked about. Yeah, I kind of like him for Stockton. that's cool. What do you got coming up on?
Oh man, we got an all-star lineup today, man. We got Kyle Mattson pulling up on
damn
us.
Damn right you do.
We got Jay Gayden pulling up on us from CBS 13. We got Eddie Gonzalez from the Et cetera.
Oh,
and we got the legend Frank Redd pulling up on us too, man.
So, I love that.
Good times today on this Friday.
D'Lo and KC. No D'Lo. He is still on vacation. KC's got you, James. Have a great weekend. Feel better, man. Looking forward to you, KC. I'll be back with you guys on Monday at 10 a.m. Throughout the weekend, everybody, remember, drink water and be nice to people. We'll talk to you next week. Bye!
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.